Now, we're joined in studio by four guests. One of them is a very special guest, and the other three are here just really as the backing singers. Michelle, Carlin, good morning to you first. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Greg.
It's great to have you with us. And we also have Sharon Murray, who's principal of St. Mary's National School. Good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Greg.
Thank you very much indeed. And Lorraine and Kaylee Carlin are with us as well. Lorraine and Kaylee, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Kaylee. Is this your first time on the radio?
Yes.
Is it exciting?
It's exciting.
Yeah. Who's that you've brought with you? Who's that on your lap?
Ted.
And what's that on Ted's head?
A mask.
It looks well. It suits him. Where did you get that?
You tell him what it's for.
What's it for? Yes, Kaylee. Tell me what it's for. I don't know, Mum. You tell me.
It's the same mask as Kaylee wears.
Ah, okay. And we'll start with you, if that's all right, Lorraine. And we're going to be talking about a golf classic in the Ballybuffet and Stranraer Golf Club. And I know there's lots of golfers out there and of all different handicaps and capabilities. You could be off scratch or plus 28, it doesn't matter. You can play golf on the 1st of September and support what we're going to be talking about now. So just to note, if there's any golfers in the house, take note of this. Right, so Lorraine, this is a fundraiser to raise awareness of XP. And talk to us a little bit about XP.
XP is a condition that Kaylee was diagnosed with a year ago. She's actually allergic to UV light. It's daylight, sunlight.
These lights?
House lights,
yeah,
yes.
Everything, okay.
Everything has to be changed. So really, it's sundown, she can go out it. So it leaves her skin aging. Whatever damage the skin does, ours repairs, but hers doesn't. So
okay.
She ends up with a lot of lesions on her face.
Mm-hmm.
Freckling started first, it was the freckles, which would be kind of normal in this country, but they got worse. I suppose everybody said, oh, look at her, she's lovely with all these freckles. And then a couple of people would say, what's wrong with her now?
Yeah, so in the beginning it was the cutie freckles, and then, yeah.
Cute. But people would say, wouldn't they, Kaylee? What do people used to say to you? What?
As soon as the mics go down now, we'll not get Kaylee quiet. I don't know how she knows we're live, but anyway. And Lorraine, we spoke to a young guy and his mum recently who was also allergic to UV light. Mm-hmm. And it's by just coincidence.
Yes.
That's something completely different to what
yes.
Kaylee has.
We're all looking for healthy, tasty
right, okay,
family.
Her skin condition leaves her that her lesions are become cancerous. She has it's like a basal cell carcinomas on her face at present. But since we started protecting her from the sun, they have reduced, you know, her skin has improved dramatically. She wears sun cream. There's no cure for Kaylee's condition.
Yeah.
There's no treatment, except there's a cream that we've got from Dublin that reduces the real lesions.
Yes.
That's just a protection, I think, more than a treatment, I'm not sure.
Now, Kaylee's the only person diagnosed with XP
yeah.
in Ireland, so it's incredibly
North
rare.
North and South, yeah.
So, but that doesn't mean that Kaylee's the only person affected by it. That's just the
no,
only person.
There's 100 in England, and we've been over in England with them. But it's very, very unique. It's like one in a million, but really there's only 1,000 in the world has it.
And is it uncomfortable for Kaylee?
Yeah, it does. She's really resilient. She'll wear all her masks. She has to wear masks, protective mask all the time, gloves. She gets her sun cream on every 2 hours. But, you know, she, summertime was sweating.
Of course, and then
just,
not maybe
no.
seeing other people,
yes.
being able to do other things. It's
yes.
it's difficult, but she's a brave wee girl. Michelle, what's your role in all of this?
Well, I am Kaylee's dad's cousin, and my role in this is really just kind of help them raise awareness for the condition. So
you've got a folder, so I think you're the one to have on board. If you want someone to organise something, I think you're the lady to go to.
I don't know. I have a few helpers as well.
Okay.
We kind of talked about this in the early stages when we found out about the diagnosis, and mainly it was people were asking how they could help,
mm-hmm.
Get involved to help Kaylee and help the family, help Lorraine and Adrian. And then kind of a few months ago then we kind of talked about it and decided to do a fundraiser for the group, Action for XP, who are based in London. They have been a massive help since the diagnosis, massive support. They've provided all the equipment that Kayleigh has needed so far. We found it difficult to get the supports here in Ireland because it is so rare. The health professionals are still kind of educating themselves and familiarising themselves with the condition. And then the school as well, who Kayleigh was only in 2 weeks when she got diagnosed. So it was massive changes the school had to make, and they've been amazing throughout. And you know, we can't thank you enough for
And that's else. It, Sharon, principal of St Mary's NS. Schools step up to the plate, and yours has as well, and it's to make it a safe and inclusive place for everyone. So what have you implemented, or what changes have you made to accommodate Kayleigh best?
Yeah, so literally we've always taken the lead from mum, because as I said, mum was just learning. There was no knowledge, no expertise in Ireland for, you know, onward help. So we were just sort of working very closely with mum, and as mum would work with the organisations over in the UK, she would feed back best practice and what we should be doing. But I suppose last year we were just all trying to grapple and put things in place as best we could. So Kayleigh has access now to an SNA that obviously looks after her care needs for her sun cream, and, you know, making sure that before she leaves the classroom, mm-hmm. she's completely covered. Last year, unfortunately, to make sure that Kayleigh could learn in a safe environment, we had to have the blinds down for a good part of the year. Now, obviously, moving forward, we've applied for emergency works. So we're at present getting UV blocks on every single one of every pane of glass in the school will be covered by UV blocks. So that basically when Kayleigh's in any classroom or any place in the school and we have our UV meter and we take a reading, we will see we know what the safe range is, and that we always make sure that Kayleigh is obviously in a safe area. So her SNA would be regularly taking readings throughout the day. But look, I applied through the Department of Education for emergency works, and like anything, it's a tough battle. It's a long, laborious process. But yeah, we were successful. We got all the funding. So we have external shelters being built at the minute as well in the schools. So we have 4 shelters. So basically, they have glass elements with UV blocks. So during the summertime, or when the weather is very, very good, Kayleigh can go into those areas. She is outdoors with fresh air, but she's protected. Because last year, the most difficult thing was every time Kayleigh goes outside the classroom, so when she goes out to play at break time or goes out for PE, she has to wear her mask, she has to be completely covered, her gloves, everything has to be on. So you can imagine in the summertime when it was really, 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 really warm, it was so uncomfortable. But you know what? We managed sports day, we managed school tours, we managed everything with a bit of imagination. But like that there, it's just a really, really close communication with home and school.
Lorraine, how you know, when you're dealing with a diagnosis, and I think sometimes, well, I think all the time, it'd be easier if it was yourself rather than someone you care for. It can be really isolating, and especially with something that's so rare, and the information and other people affected seem so far away. How important has it been for the likes of the school to be so accommodating and to say that, you know, it's really important that Kayleigh gets as close to the same experience as other children do? There must be great comfort that can be taken from that, is there?
There's no words to describe what the school has done for us, because she's with them more than she is with me in the school term. And I mean, they are looking about her 100%. I mean, when she comes in, I couldn't ask for better. Because when we left Dublin that day, when we got the diagnosis, I thought Kayleigh was never going to be able to go outside again, do anything outside again. And as for the XP support group, helped us get the mask and all. And
do I need to switch these lights off?
No, they're perfect.
Are they? Okay, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's what the checked it.
As soon as I saw you take that out, I was getting...
But having this has makes an awful difference, because if we go into a restaurant to eat, and instead of, you know, just check, is it safe for her? If it's not safe, we can move to another area. And the school was the same there. They didn't have to have all the blinds
down. And it saves you having to guess or second guess.
Oh,
it gives you the
security. She knows what time of night she can go out without a mask. And that's she's very adamant about that.
Kids are amazing, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're so resilient and adaptive.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's with the other children in the school as well, Sharon.
Yeah, but you know what? We got Kaylee to explain to everyone and she just said, I'm allergic to sunlight. And then that's when Ted came in, and Ted was sort of a way of showing the children that, you know, Ted's like me, and this is sort of trying to show the kids, I suppose, Ted wears this because of this condition, just like me. Mm. And kids are very black and white. And the kids would, before we got the UV meter, the blinds had to come down. And then we got the UV meter, it made things so much easier. But like that there, that was all through London and Lorraine having to travel over and back to London to get those things. But, you know, the kids would be very quick to say to us, you didn't put the, you know, the senior kids would be like, Keely's coming down, put down the blinds.
And that requires a bit of buy-in from parents as well. So it's a whole community response. Yeah. So, Michelle, talk to us about this this golf classic that's taking place in Ballybofey and Stranraer Golf Club, which I played once when I had the time to do that kind of thing.
So that's enough,
you
can join us.
Yeah, I played quite well there actually, even if I do say myself. But talk to me about the fundraising and who's involved and all that type of stuff. It's over to you now, Michelle.
Yeah, so the golf classic is going to take place in Ballybofey and Stranraer Golf Club next Friday, the 1st of September. We really only got a chance to launch it in the last 2 weeks, and the support has been phenomenal. It's open to all levels of golfers. I'm not too up on the whole golf scene or anything like that there, but I have two helpers, Michael Carlin and Shane Lafferty, so they're taking charge of that. You know, we've had a massive support from that, and I want to thank everyone for their sponsorship and the businesses, for their generosity and everyone getting involved.
Now, people can still, now you've have the support of Finn Valley Harvesting.
Yes.
So fair play to them getting involved. Now, there are still sponsoring opportunities for teas and things like that. So, in other words, if there's a company listening, there's no one in it plays golf, you can still get your name, sponsorship up on a tee or find some other ways to support this. So, who do they contact about that?
I might leave my number here with Highland Radio.
Of course, and they know ours, and we can pass it
and on. Revolut and PayPal, we're accepting donations. So, and if anyone knows any of us, any of the family or anything like that there, they can get in touch. And all donations are greatly appreciated. We have a new, we have another gold sponsor as well, McElhinney's.
Fair play to
McElhinney's. So the prizes are all being sponsored by McElhinney's. We're very grateful for their support as well. And as I said, just all the help and all the support and generosity from the community.
Yeah. Now, teams of €400, and in this day and age, €25 green fees is really excellent value. So you can get an opportunity to play Ballybofey and Stranraer, if you're not a member, for €25. Just get a team together, and you also get a €5 discount. A €5 meal voucher is included in there. There's lots of prizes and what have you, and you're helping a really important cause. Because I'd imagine, Lorraine, you know, when something is incredibly rare, you might find yourself wondering, well, is anyone working on a new cream, or is there anyone working on something that might, you know, so for you, particularly as a mom, it's kind of frustrating, isn't it? So anything you can do to draw attention to this, the better.
It makes an awful difference, because we had nobody when we left Dublin, that Crumlin Hospital that day, we had nobody to talk to, because nobody knew anything about it. So then when I got settled and got myself head around it, got in contact with the sport group, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just even to ask questions like about what they do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great to hear. And then we got all the equipment from the XP Action Group.
Brilliant.
So.
Okay. And there's people of all ages involved in the XP Action Group, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't there? Okay. So you kind of get an idea of what.
She's 18. Probably one of the youngest at the minute. And then there's older people in their 40s. That has it as well.
Yeah.
Because when you do Google it, it does. It's not a nice diagnosis.
No one needs but to. It's actually shouldn't not, Google anything.
No, it's they want to actually change that, but they're not. The Wikipedia won't change it for them.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes, because there is no there's no age limit to it. It's not a.
Okay. Not a, right. Okay. Sharon, obviously, in fairness, the powers that be, as difficult as they can be to engage with from time to time, with the nagging, they came up trumps, which is good for you in terms of organising and facilitating for next year.
Yeah, and
Year, it's next week. Right.
Yeah, but actually, look, you know, as I said, as soon as we got the paperwork, the applications were, like, the building work only commenced over the summer, so it's a very long process. But I'm quite tenacious, to be quite honest, when I put my mind to it. So I think just moving forward, it's upskilling, and you know, as I said, through Lorraine, we can link in with the UK, and our staff then can take part in CPD, because it's important that all our staff know about Kayleigh's condition, and you know, if Kayleigh's visiting another class on a day or a different teacher's on yard duty, we all need to know what we're doing, because as I said, Lorraine entrusts Kayleigh to us every single day, and you know, that's we don't shy away from that. Like, you know, she's one of her own when she's in school, but no, we've a great team and a great community. So yeah, starting senior infants now, next Thursday, so yeah, all exciting.
Fair play, Lorraine. From all your work colleagues in St Joseph's Hospital, we are all behind Kayleigh.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Please name the school. So fantastic, that wee girl being looked after so well. Great training for children at school to have such thoughts for others indeed. And I just wish adults would take the lead from children at times. The school is St Mary's National School, which is based where, Sharon?
Yeah, we're in Castlefin. In the town of Castlefin.
And Sharon, I mentioned at the beginning, is the principal of St Mary's National School. Now, if you want to book a tea time, you contact the golf club directly on 074 91 31 093. We'll retain that number here as well, and that means you and three of your friends or enemies can play in the Golf Classic Ballybofane Stranraer Golf Club on the 1st of September 2023. McElhenney's, Finn Valley Harvesting are amongst those backing it already. And if you want to get in contact with us, if you're a business and you want to sponsor a prize or a tea or something, we can pass on the contact details for you. Michelle, anything else you want to add in relation to that side of things?
Just thank you for having us. Thanks for the support. We're not going to release a figure yet, but we've been overwhelmed just Brilliant. By it's how much support we've received and
phenomenal.
The generosity, and it just illustrates how highly thought of Kayleigh is.
And Lorraine,
and Adrian. And Kayleigh, the family.
Say thank you to everybody. Thank
Kayleigh?
Thank you.
That's okay. Is there anyone you want to say hello to? Do you want to say hello to anyone in the family, at school, teachers?
Who's having a party tomorrow?
Well, everyone.
My cousin Aidan's having a party tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Eamon, did you say?
Aidan.
Okay.
My
cousin. Brilliant. Are you going? Excellent. And you're going to have lots of fun, aren't you? Okay, that's something to look forward to. Are you looking forward to going back to school? Yes, that's the right thing to say in front of the principal.
And my aunt.
Go on, Kayleigh, what?
My auntie is 40.
Oh, well, she's going to love you for saying that.
It's the weekend.
Oh, and what's her name, auntie?
Auntie Margaret,
who's 40. Now, don't get angry with me, Margaret. It was Kayleigh that threw you under the bus.
It's a busy weekend of partying.
It is. Okay. Well, listen, enjoy. Fair play, Sharon, to you and to everyone at the school. And keep up that tenacity, of course, as well. Lorraine.
Thank you very much.
Greg. Wasn't I right? There was no point being nervous.
No.
Exactly.
You
just put Kayleigh on your lap for support, and she did a brilliant job. And I'm going to get some advice as how you keep her quiet once we've finished. Michelle, fair play to you as well.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that we've missed or you want to add just whilst we have the opportunity? Of course, you've thanked everyone. No figures yet, but I think you've been really impressed.
We've discussed this before we started the fundraising, and really the whole aim of it is to raise awareness for Kayleigh's condition. There could be someone sitting somewhere else listening to this online, maybe a different part of the world, and looks at the photographs and might see the lesions and think, you know, this could be something like this condition
doesn't
exist.
They're relatively quiet at the moment, but
there's probably Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland, as we know.
But in terms of her reaction to light, it's quite calm at the moment compared to where it can be. Okay. Also, just actually, where is it? Where can we direct people for a useful source of information? You know, rather than, as you say, Google, straight to the XP, is it?
Action for XP, yeah.
Action for
XP. That's Q-bar there, if you actually do that, okay. It comes onto the support group and
Excellent.
Give
okay.
you the best information.
Just an example, like there's only 100, they support 100 families within the UK, and they've taken Kayleigh under their wing. And for every €50 that they receive, they'll provide an information pack and TED to each child, just as a way of, you know, information and familiarising themselves with the condition. So every diagnosed person for each 50 euro will receive it. Now, there is only 100 families, so they don't, you know, it's not a massive charity or a massive group, but they're very, you
active
know,
and very supportive. Active. But through and awareness all like this, you know, you never know when the next person, you know.
Like it started off with some very small freckles that normally is normal and then just gets bigger and bigger.
All right, then. So, listen, thanks so very much indeed for calling in. Kaylee, thank you.
Say thank you.
Enjoy the party tomorrow. Say hello to Aidan for me, will you? Okay, good stuff. Your favourite cousin, is he? Well, there's probably lots that will not say that. Sharon Murray, thank you so very much indeed. That's Principal of St Mary's National School and Michelle Carlin as well. And I think I thanked Kaylee's mum, Lorraine. Okay, that is a golf classic, Ballybofane Schnorler Golf Club, the 1st of September, just around the corner. And the more people support, obviously, the more that is raised for awareness and raising awareness and support for people affected by XP. It's xeroderma pyxomatosus, is it? Pyxomatosum. Yeah. Pyxomatosum, okay. Back with more shortly. A caller says there must be some wonderful reason why these people want to get to the moon. Otherwise, these countries would feed and look after their people. Kind of reminds me of the Tower of Babel. Irish journalism that does not point out the elephant in the room here, namely that politicians are acting against the express will of their citizens. I really don't understand how we can't have a referendum on immigration. I think the findings of that might be quite interesting. Another caller says, how are we allowing unvetted people to vote? This is crazy. How are we allowing this to happen? The question needs to be asked. And again, I'm not taking a position opposite to yours. I'm not vetted. I've never been vetted. Have you? I wonder, has the texter ever been vetted? I never understood where this vetting thing comes from, because what would it actually discover? These people are, there is an element of vetting as they arrive into the country, but I don't know what Garda vetting at this point would. But anyway, again, always open to an education. Right, we were talking to Liam earlier on, who was told by his Dublin-based insurance company that they were no longer going to provide insurance for his static mobile home because he was resident in Northern Ireland and the unit was based in Donegal. They did advise him to contact their Northern Irish office, but he was a bit unsure about that because if it came down to a claim, he would like the insurance to be provided in the same country as the mobile home is. Well, anyway. Hi, Greg. Just listening to your show this morning. We, Hannon Green Limited Insurance Brokers, have arranged cover recently for clients in Northern Ireland who have a static mobile home or caravan based in the Republic of Ireland. These clients also had been contacted by their previous UK provider to say they no longer were able to facilitate in the Republic of Ireland. You can pass on our details, or alternatively, we'd be happy to contact your listener to see if we can be of assistance. They're based at 21 Chapel Street, Carn Donagh, and the number is 074 937 4477. Fair play. That's Hannon Green Limited Insurance Brokers, who will be able to help with the insurance in that case, all being well. We'll retain those details in case any of you are looking for them. Reinsurance. Caller says he got the same letter from Dublin regarding the same insurance company and took it to another broker in Letterkenny, who looked into it, and it transpired the letters were actually incorrect due to an error in the information. This was sorted through the broker and insurance was reinstated. So there are solutions out there. Thank you so much for getting in touch. Any chance we could get 30 minutes free parking in Ballybofey, asks the caller. Greg, that skip's still on the footpath in Letterkenny. Lads and lassies, please. There are people who have mobility issues or have difficulties in getting around. A skip on a footpath in a main thoroughfare. Hi, just asking about court cases. I'm waiting on a case since 2018, taking a car dealer to court. Any idea why it's taking so long? Sister says there's a big backlog. Must be some cases if it's waiting this long. Okay, must be. Right, Eunan joins me now. Hi, Eunan.
Hello, Greg.
Good to chat to you.
How are you?
I'm good. You're asking a question. What's happening with the graveyard in Leck? It looks like there are about six spaces left and then it's full. Talk to us about what you've spotted, what you're concerned about.
Well, I tell you, I go to the graveyard every day. I see the rosary DC once a day out there. I do all the graves once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And lately there's been a lot of people passed away and a lot of the graves have been filled up. But what I noticed there now this last while, there's the last footpath, but I knew how you need the footpath to walk down when you're taking the remains down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're on the last one now at the minute, and there's, I just, well, I was out this morning actually, and there's eight, what would you call it?
There's
eight
spots
graves,
of,
or double yeah. graves just left now at the minute, and there's no more footpaths.
Wow.
That would mean that people would have to walk on the grass or the dirt to try and take remains down, and now the graveyard's filling up fairly quick.
So you're asking then, is there a plan for another footpath to extend at Lech, or is it a case that they've run out of space and that's why there's only the one footpath left? Or what's your question?
They have plenty of room today.
Right, okay.
They have plenty of room, because the upper part is still yet, you know, there's probably another couple of years on it yet, but they just, there's no footpaths made since COVID, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the last one now, I think. If there's about another, the next eight felt were on just on grass. And it's, at the minute, the way the graves are facing, it's very steep. When it was the older part of it, up until about a couple of years ago, they changed them going across side roads, which was ridiculous, I think. But because the ones that is in there at the beginning is looking straight across at St. Junan's Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're sitting as the priest. I asked the priest, why were they turned straight to the right? He says, because the sun, that's where the sun comes up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's ridiculous. But at the minute, we're on the last footpath now. At the minute, there's actually two burials there, Saturday and Monday, in that new part, and there's already two there. So there's eight left now, and when they're filled, there's no more footpaths.
Yeah.
You just have to walk in, walk in the grass, which is as dangerous with the concrete, but it's going to be 10 times worse on grass.
So there's two questions here. When's another footpath going in so it's safe to take the remains to their final resting place? But you've also asked, what are the plans for a new graveyard? What's triggered that question also?
No, I know there's a new graveyard. There's a new graveyard. What do you call it? As far as I know, there's ground bought for a new graveyard between New Lech and Old Lech. There is property bought, but that will not, hopefully will not need that for a few years yet. But the main concern is, at the minute now, is a New Lech where there's no more footpaths. We're on the last one now to go down once that's filled. There's no more at the minute. The last one was made about, as far as I know, it's about 4 years ago.
All right, okay. Well, listen, we'll make our inquiries as well, Eunan, to find out what the story is or if there's any update. But thank you for contacting us and raising the issue.
Yeah, and just when you're there, Greg, just if I could say, somebody had two trees down in the way, and you say you're coming up from Oatfield there on the right, left-hand side of the road.
Yes.
One of them was actually lying over for the last 2 months. I don't know why the council didn't pull it back and just stayed it up and put a post on to let it grow again. They just left it lying for the last 2 months. And there's another one then about three or four trees up. Somebody had it there the weekend, and that's lying over as well. And they're fairly well matured now, like, so if they pull them back, I think they'll still grow. But they seem to, I don't know, just they passed it. It's only a matter of putting on a stake, pull it back, put a stake on and have the thing stiffened up again.
All right, you think it's savable. All right, Eunan, thank you very much indeed. That is Eunan there. Any comments on that? 086 60 25,000. A caller says, listening to the story there about a girl looking for housing and blaming Ukrainians, people need to stop blaming them and stop blaming government and landlords. I get you, but I also get why people feel frustrated. And we often direct our frustration or our anger in the wrong directions. It's a human condition. But I also, it's understandable, and it's how that person feels. But as you may have heard your comment there, and I might, consider, is there another way of thinking as well? Hi, Greg. I'm writing this letter as I feel I need to express how I feel in relation to getting work. I've trained as a healthcare assistant during the pandemic. However, due to this disaster that we're facing, my work experience was cut short, as was other students' work experience. I had only done a month of work experience in a nursing home. I've tried to fulfill work in this area, but the nursing homes are looking for a year's experience. I feel that I'm being discouraged against. I have obtained the qualifications. I worked hard to achieve this, but have difficulty getting employment. During the pandemic, retired healthcare staff were asked to return to this area of work. Now they wouldn't have had any experience in this field of work since they retired, which could have been for several years. But it was okay for them to get work in this area. I think nursing homes should provide guidance and support to healthcare assistants. The more practice a person gets, the better they'll become, for example, using a hoist. If current staff in nursing homes can do up-to-date training such as first aid, patient moving and handling, fire safety, I don't see why if a person who is fully qualified should be discriminated against when that person is determined in working in that area. I think that if a person like myself with little experience, why they can't work with a senior healthcare assistant until they get more guidance and support when doing certain tasks for the first couple of months. I don't see why that would be a problem as well as to do any up-to-date training in any job sector. Guidance would always be given. How am I meant to get experience if not given the opportunity? Working with the elderly in their homes currently is not possible as I do not drive. I've also applied for other positions such as shop work, but no satisfaction to anything I applied to. I feel so distressed. I don't know what to do. I feel anxious nearly every day. I'm a hard-working, caring person. I would just like to be given the chance. And that comes in from an anonymous listener. We have their details there, but you can imagine the frustration they're feeling there. And maybe as you were listening to that, if you have any insights or feedback, you might get in touch with us. I checked with the diocese office. When I say I mean Caroline, or maybe it's a listener, I'm not sure. But anyway, someone checked with the diocese office and there are plans to do the relative work and burials will continue in Lex Cemetery. So the plans are afoot for a footpath there, it would seem. Thank you to whoever sent that in to us. Was it you checked that? It was you. Okay. So we've got that officially from the diocese office there. Anne-Marie McGraw on Facebook says, great interview highlighting Kaylee's condition. Amazing teamwork to support Kaylee living her best life. And a couple of hearts there as well. I'm an SNA and I'm so delighted that the school principal is doing so much to make this child's life the best it could be while in the school. Indeed, it's really encouraging and heartwarming, isn't it? Morning, Greg. Please give a special mention for my darling wife, Anne-Marie Maley in Letterkenny. It's our 16th wedding anniversary. Lots of love, Paul and Eleanor. Please play Made of Gold by Derek Wine. By Derek Ryan. Please pass on to John and David Show, where they'll probably be able to pay that. But, you know, you don't need Derek Ryan to show your love. You've done it right there through your own words, but we will make others aware of that. Congratulations to David Cafferkey from Letterkenny and Laura Cairns from Donnymanna. They're getting married today in the Silver Tassie. All our love and happiness to you from David's sister Andrea and Michael, nephews Emmett, Ryan, Callum, Mickey and Jack, and also Anya, Marie and Ella. Have a wonderful day, David and Laura, and I think you're getting a good day for it as well. The odd shower, perhaps. We haven't seen one yet here. And also, of course, the team at the Silver Tassie will look after you really well. The Irish States wants to give Ukrainians the vote as they would vote to join NATO and end Irish neutrality. I don't know how we can group an entire country in together as if the Ukrainians are coming to take away our neutrality. I don't get the fear there, but listen, as I say, that's your view. People who are resident here, even if they aren't Irish citizens, have always been able to vote in these elections. So if there are plans to do that, well then, they've been afoot for a very long time. India exploring space, but Varadkar's Ireland gave India over €400 million of an aid package to them. Check this out and explain this to the people of Donegal whose houses are crumbling. I couldn't find any reference to an aid package, financial aid package for India, to be honest with you. I know we did send 600 or 700 ventilators to India, or at least we had planned to, during the pandemic, but I can't get any reference to Ireland providing financial aid to India. So if you can send me a link, definitely more than happy to read it out and to highlight it if that's what is happening. But as I say, I couldn't find any reference to it on the internet. All right, still a fair bit of interest out there in the story as it relates to RTE. And we were reading today that Minister Simon Harris says he won't ask his constituents to spend any more money on RTE until a reform plan is delivered, as TV licence revenue plummets by nearly €6 million. He was asked if the government was taking too long to tackle long-term funding reform for RTE as it considers interim funding for the broadcaster in the upcoming budget. The Irish Daily Mail reported last Saturday that a bailout for the broadcaster worth €25 million looks set to be approved in the budget, but that no funds will be forthcoming before Christmas. Mr. Harris said yesterday, "Before I ask any of my constituents in County Wicklow to spend any more money in relation to any of these matters, we need to see a very clear reform plan for RTE, and that is not just about Ryan Tuberty." So €25 million in the budget looks set to be diverted to RTE. Do any of you have a view on that? What do you think? 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. And just to remind you, many of you do listen to this show overnight. We go, was it 1 o'clock or 12, Caroline? I'm all 1 o'clock Monday to Thursday, and then something else on Friday that you don't know. Fantastic bit of producing there. Anyway, we can guarantee you Monday to Thursday it's at 1. And if you're listening overnight, good morning to you. And you can always text in 086 60 25,000 when you're listening to the podcast as well, by the way, just so you're still involved in the conversation. Right, I want to say good morning to Yvonne. Hi, Yvonne.
How's it going, Greg?
I'm going okay, Yvonne. Now, you were like many out there. You're looking to buy a new house. Is it your first house or just switching from where you're at the moment? Yvonne, you're actually... Sorry, no, I think you're affected by mica, aren't you? Or defective concrete.
Aye, we're affected. We're affected by mica. Still not very far on the scheme through various reasons. But I just wanted to highlight the fact, Greg, that if we were looking at a house, a semi-detached house, and in order to get a mortgage for it, you have to have a mica test on, mm-hmm. on the property. So if you do this test and you pay for the test and stuff, and it comes back that there's, you know, high amounts of mica and defective concrete blocks, you're down the money. So anyway...
Just to be clear, Yvonne, I wasn't aware of this because it's not an area I've looked into greatly. So in other words, if a house comes up in the market and you go, right, we might put a bid in for that, it's the responsibility of the purchaser to pay the thousands of euro to test if it has defective concrete.
Exactly.
So if it does have high levels, you're out the money.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So what because I have spoke to a couple of estate agents and I've said to them, look, this is not fair. It has to be, the onus should be on the person that's selling the house. Obviously, it'd be more beneficial to them to have a test done with, you know, with no defective blocks in it, because they'll get that money back, you know.
Because they can ask for because they can ask for a higher rate. I wonder, are people sort of exploiting the heat in the market in that they're saying, look, some agent's going to come along and pay for this. Why should we? Because there's so few houses for so many people that want them. But that's not really fair. It doesn't make sense. Yeah,
exactly. And as well, on some estate agents, there is things marked saying mica test passed. But there's not actual a test done. It's like a visual inspection and stuff. There's not an actual, which is very misleading to the person buying the house. But it just leaves, like, it's okay if you're a cash buyer, you can go and you don't need to get this for the mortgage, but you're leaving yourself wide open. But it's just the fact that if we look at a couple of houses and we have to pay, like, is it 7,000 to get a mica test done? I know that's what we paid, but if we had to do that, like, for every house, what sense is that, Greg? It should be, especially now in Donegal, the way things are, that if you're putting your house up for sale, you should have it tested and have your papers and everything stating that the house is not defective.
Should it even be maybe a legal requirement that, particularly in Donegal and particularly given the prevalence of defective concrete, should it be a requirement that someone
100%.
Selling a house should have to be able to give some level of assurance that there isn't defective concrete? Now, I think most, if they could and it was the forever home, might try and get the reassurance rather than taking someone else's word for it. But this is an area of this whole crisis that really does need a little bit of attention, I think, a lot of attention, in fact.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, I can't believe that it hasn't been highlighted yet. But another aspect of it, we went to look at a house as well, Greg, that the bank was selling. And we went in, and there was a few cracks and stuff. But anyway, I said to the person, the estate agent that was selling the house, I says, so the bank's selling it. I says, so obviously they've tested this house. And she says, oh, no, they don't do no testing. And I says, well, how are you going to get a mortgage if they haven't got testing done? Oh, she says, it really would suit a cash buyer. So I just my mouth hit the ground. I looked at my husband and I thought, what's happening here? Like, is there any common sense happening?
So, Ivana, in your experience, I mean, you'll have looked at an awful lot. I presume you'd have looked at a number of properties. Are any of them coming back with house has been tested and doesn't have mica or defective concrete? Or is it generally, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's going to be a feature of adverts, or at least should be. Has it been your experience uniquely that you would have to pay if you wanted to satisfy yourself there was no defective concrete, that you have to pay? Or do some houses have that assurance already?
No, you have to pay. If you want a mortgage, Greg, you have to prove, you have to actually have a test done.
Yeah, okay. A listener says, you know what I mean? Sold our house in January and we paid for the mica test, but that's not your experience.
No, that's not our experience in the last maybe 6 months. And from speaking to other people as well, Greg, it's the same situation.
Mm.
You know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, it is a mica tax, isn't it, really? I mean, it's a premium that we're having to pay that, you know, they're not paying in Louth.
Yeah, like, you're not going to have to, you have to pay for this. You have to have a mica test in order to secure a mortgage, Greg.
Yeah. And it can't be visual. I presume the mortgage companies want an actual core test done on the property.
An actual core test done.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, Greg.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, because we've had ours inspected before we bought ours, you know, with the defective house. And, like, you know, everything was okay there. And sure, look at the mess it turned out.
Mm. So, how does this work then? As I say, because the property market's still quite hot here. Say there is a semi-detached house for sale in Bridge End or something. Like, if 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 people are interested in buying it, they're not all going to get a test. The house would be like a block of cheese by the time everyone had bored it. So I wonder how that's working. It's, well, I'm not trying to be funny, but you know what I mean? I wonder how that works its way out, Yvonne.
Yeah, that's a good point, Greg. It's an excellent point, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know that answer, you know, but I think the state agents should all come on and, you know, explain why they're taking on houses that are so obvious that they have mica. And by the way, Greg, they have been sold with mica in them.
Yeah,
I mean, I know of houses that have been sold and there's mica in them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ludicrous.
Listen, there's people caught out by that all the time. Maybe, hopefully now it's not happening as much, but you do still see houses advertised that might have mica or what have you. But there are people now who bought a house, and you know everything you have to go through to fund it, Yvonne, that bought a house in the last couple of years and then find out they have it. I mean, it's devastating for everyone, but particularly, you know, buying in the midst of this crisis and then finding out you're a victim, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, Greg, you do not want anybody to go through this.
No.
You know, you do, especially young couples starting out.
Mm.
I mean, there is, as you say, there is houses on the market there that has mica in them, and they're reduced. They're reduced, but they're still 100,000+ euros. That should be that should only be the amount of the site. That is all that house is worth.
Site value, yeah. And fixture and fitness or something, if you wanted to try and salvage them, who's going to do that? It is crazy what's going on out there, Yvonne. Well, listen, we've thrown it out to the public now. We'll see if we get any feedback. I hope your search is a successful one. You've been through enough, like thousands of others around this county, and it'd be lovely if you were able to get a secure mica-free roof over your head, Yvonne. I hope that happens for you and your partner.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, thank you so much for helping us raise that issue. A caller says, my brother sold his house in June and there was no test done. I would not built by a breeze block house that wasn't tested. Another caller says it's very simple for the seller. All they have to do is say sold as seen, end of story. But will people... Yeah, but that means there are people who will... And as I say, if there's multiple people interested in the property, do they all get samples? I don't know. All right, we'll come back to that, actually, because it's an interesting one, which has come up on the show before, but not too much. Now, tomorrow morning from 9, we have a Friday panel assembled for you. Looking forward to that. We're going to discuss any stories that break over the overnight or any of the big stories of the week. You can always suggest what we talk about by contacting the show. That's entertainment between 11 and 12. And by the way, we've done some research and we can tell you that our own program, it's terrible, isn't it? Our own program is broadcast Monday to Thursday at midnight. It's repeated. And on Friday, it's 1 a.m. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for taking part. Have a lovely day. Stay tuned for John Breslin.